to the 4Jack Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 4Jack Podcast. We are a little bit late releasing this episode this week. We did have a busy weekend up in Sagebrush, and we will get into that a little bit later. First, before we get into our pod, we just want to thank a few of our sponsors. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Jackson Labs, the brand consultants that we've been trusting since day one, and the brand consultants you should trust to do the same. Go check them out at jacksonlabs.com. That's J-A-X-O-N. This podcast is also brought to you by our friends at TaylorMade Golf. They've been dialing us in literally all year, and they certainly helped a few of us out this weekend at Sagebrush, and they can get you going as well. Go check them out. Last but not least, the only reason why we kind of look somewhat decent out there, Cricket shirts. We love them. We've been promoting the shit out of them all year. I know Parks is, he might be the biggest brand ambassador in Canada right now, actually. It's a nice scene that he's got going on. Go check out Cricket Shirts Canada and Cricket Shirts and everything in between, and just look as good as Parks does 90% of the week.
Thanks, bro.
Let's get into it a little bit.
What's that 10%
look like? 10% first thing in the morning.
Naked?
When we're just, yeah, shower time.
Isn't that the best time?
Rubber ducky, you're the one.
Big weekend of golf. It's almost too much to even cover, but we're going to try our best here. FedEx Cup. Playoffs finish with Patrick Cantlay taking down the net side of the event and John Rahm and Kevin Na winning the Rose, which is a little sad, but the Jason Bourne and out in the FedEx Cup playoffs, Patrick Cantlay making his assassin debut out there.
I didn't even have that queued up to the right spot. I apologize, 4Jack fan, but yes, you are correct. You have alluded to it, sir. Jason Bourne was in the house. There's another nickname I heard. Everyone was calling him Sheldon.
I don't know this one. I only heard Patty Ice.
Sheldon. Yeah. You can't take the Iceman, though. That's Stenson's. Stenson's the Iceman, the three-wood Iceman.
Is he, though?
I don't know.
He has been for a long time.
We'll go into that in a second.
Okay. We're not even saying hello to all the boys here. Right. We're joined with everybody today, thankfully. We're going to head way out east first. David, how are you, my man?
Good guys. Survived Brisson family vacay, 3-1. Got a little change of plan after week one MPI. My return to professional golf / amateur golf / competitive golf didn't go as planned with a nice little DQ start, a little misfire by my brain, I think. But pivoted, got the kids on vacation, avoided a hurricane, went to Quebec City, Montreal, Ottawa. Avoid the hurricane in Halifax, PEI, and I survived. Ate a lot of poutine. A little fatter this week, but life was good. Kids don't hate me. I think they love me more.
So you still have all your fingers and toes.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Check.
That's a win. Is that what we do now with children? Fingers and toes? All right, children.
Making sure it's easy to get them lost and
rammed in car doors and such.
Yes, who knows?
Is it poutine or poutine? Poutine?
Depends who you're asking, really.
Yeah, what's the official? How do they pronounce it?
Quebecois Putin.
Yeah, over in the land of the Quebecois. Like that.
That's my John Chrétien. Right, I've been working on that for Halloween or my next date.
Exactly. Tombo, how are you?
Doing good, gentlemen. Wasn't at Sagebrush with you all, but went on my own little adventure this weekend and excited to hear more about the journey. I heard a little tidbit of information. Happy to hear Patrick Cantlay took it down after picking him as the winner. I know that's easy for me to say.
You've been riding that guy all year.
I have been riding him for a long time, so it's nice to see Patty Ice, Jason Bourne, whatever nickname, Sheldon, the silent assassin, just stick to his program and hold off John Rahm, realistically, because he was hunting. Like, John Rahm technically played better, but
he technically won that event.
That sugar that
tied
they start
T1
with
Kevin Na
is super nice.
Yeah.
And shout out to Kevin Na for real. Like,
ooh, heater.
Heater. And Kenny Harms.
Had a little chat with Kenny Harms on Monday morning, and he was pretty jazzed up.
Do you think Kenny got up Kevin's ass when he was telling me, he's like, hey man, I need this money to do up my reno in my new house.
I gotta finish the renos, bro.
Yeah. He's like, I need you to fucking perform here today.
I think he actually drove up to East Lake with his dad. So that was a pretty cool experience. Yeah, Kenny had his dad up there with him. So I don't know if he stayed the whole time or what it was, but Yeah, super cool.
That is very cool. How much of a payday would that be for Kenny Harms?
$300,000
It was $4 million that Kevin Na won.
So, $400K plus?
Ish.
Plus the nice guy.
More than, actually, if you think about it this way, more than Brooks won with a WD by $5,000.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a lot of money to invest in some cricket shirts. You know what I mean, David?
Sorry to hear that.
It's not bad. Well, you've heard it. You've heard his voice. Last but not least, Parksy.
Hang on a minute here. We got more to get into with Tom. He actually wrangled a shark this weekend, fought the tides, saved lives, performed CPR to a pack of beer.
Actually,
and some car keys.
It was the ocean's dog that I was battling against. There were a couple sea lions out there.
Ooh,
yeah, they were getting feisty. They wanted those beers as much as I did.
A couple sea dogs. It's a couple salty dogs. You're saying,
yeah.
Really?
They're cute, but I wouldn't fuck around. Really.
I was just thinking about what if I could communicate with one of them and then ride on its back into the water and just be that. Who's that? Who's the water superhero? Aquaman.
Aqua Tom.
Yeah, Aqua Tom.
That sounds like
I don't want that nickname actually sticking because that's really bad for the golf course.
That sounds like a new cologne.
It should be Scuba Tom.
Scuba Tom. Yeah,
always goes low.
Yeah.
Always goes deep. Yeah,
just
what's
avoid
that,
the
what's
water.
That scent you're wearing right now? Oh, it's Aqua Tom by Tom. Giorgio Armani.
Aqua Digio by Giorgio Armani.
You threw it over to me. I'll say hello. Hello, Four Jack fam. Yes. What a weekend to talk about. We got lots of golf. We got lots of women's golf, which was fantastic. We got lots of Canadian content to talk about. We have some crazy camera angles and a story about an American man that has played a lot of golf and pays made a new BFF.
I'm not even sure if it made a new BFF. I think I just took a silver bullet for y'all, and it was a wild
Let's
time.
Get a high five on the mic. Yeah, thanks for taking that time. Bullet, brother.
Yeah.
Were you riding with this character?
No, we'll get into that in a sec. We'll save that a little bit later. I will go into this. Don't
this
worry.
Sore.
I have a full-on story to give with sore. That.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this episode or does, and we speak kindly.
He doesn't have time right now. He's somewhere doing something we don't want to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about the whole Sagebrush adventure. First, where do you guys want to start? You want to start Tour Champ?
I want to talk Korn Ferry first.
I would love to talk Korn Ferry first.
A lot of Canadian content in that event. We had Taylor Pendrith, Michael Glickick, who actually secured his card.
He got his card.
Svenny, who secured his card. Stuart McDonald, David Hearn. Yeah, some nice to see a lot of Canadian players up there. That's real good.
What was the first guy? Where did he finish?
Joseph Bramlett.
Yeah, Bramlett.
Back.
Bramlett shut her down, got his card. One sort of notable mention here is Kiradek Apibarnrat secured his card and his vaping privileges on the
love
PGA Tour
to
for
see
the next
Barnrat back year. On tour.
Vape God.
Vape God. Shoe God. Vape God.
Man.
He's a sexy man.
Dude, that might have been one of my favorite interview subpar ever put out. He's a legend. He doesn't give a fuck.
He's giving me my vape.
He just does fuck.
Blow squares and shit.
Yeah, I was a big fan of him.
Squares.
Sure. Whatever he needs. Let's move to a tramp. Get that over with really quickly before we get to the Solheim. I don't know where to start. It was a tough weekend for golf because there's so much going on. And truthfully, I don't even know if I would have had it in the top two of the things I wanted to watch this weekend.
Yeah.
Because of COVID, rescheduling and everything, I know that the tour said that they're going to move it to this weekend and it would always be on the same weekend as the Solheim, which is shit.
Lame.
But, there's just too much going on. And to be honest, I don't want to watch a handicapped event. I'm over it now. I'm done with this stroke advantage stuff. Come on. John Rahm and Kevin Na legitimately beat Patrick Cantlay. And, yeah, Rahm gave a good push at the end and probably could have won it, really. But, it's just you're handicapped. And, unfortunately, Cantlay walks away with $15 million and $22 million on the year.
He had all the shots he needed to. I actually didn't watch any of this, but I did pull a C-Pays move and PGA Tour lived Sunday afternoon. So
sick.
I did catch a little glimpse of it. And it just seemed like every step Rahm was making, Cantlay was, right there with him. And then,
it was like a two-horse race.
It was, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I don't know. I'm not the go-to guy for this, but I don't know what format is going to be suitable for this.
Match play.
Yeah.
Yeah, should it be match
play?
Yeah,
here it is. I got it.
Got it. All right, David.
2012, email to the PGA Tour from DJB at david-brisson.com. find it in your junk mail, PGA Tour. I think people bring it down to 16 players, do all match play,
100%,
and then basically have two guys on Sunday afternoon for 36 holes playing for $10 million or $20 million.
Sounds familiar.
But then actually have an event that, you know, maybe the top 12 are secured, and then there's actually like a play down for the four spots. So someone that's 120th gets in, and he actually goes all the way. So let's say you bring it down to 100 players, but the top 16 have to go play like stroke play like the US Amateur, and four guys get in. The top four of that play down get in. So now all of a sudden, let's say you're number 22 on the PGA Tour, but you play down and you're actually the number one seed, so you're the 13th spot, 14, 15, 16. Someone that's 100th in the world or 100th in the points can actually win the match play outright and win that $20 million. Case in point, someone that's like 100th in the world for the most part hasn't made $20 million in their career. So it is the definition of life-changing. And like, honestly, I think it'd be so much better. Their argument is that it's not good for live television match play. And I'm like, go to TPC Sawgrass and let's have $20 million with that stretch at TPC. Put it in your own backyard. And they just can't get there for television. They don't think match play moves the needle. And I just think it'd be so much better to kind of take that model like the US Amateur in some way to allow some of the higher, you know, point players to actually get in at the last minute and potentially win.
I also don't like that argument with the fact that it's bad for TV, because you're looking at an event that has 30 players. So there's only 15 groups out there. Realistically, by the time patrons actually get there and are really watching, there's like 10 groups out there that you're really going to watch. Come on, man. And really, you're only going to follow two, maybe three. That's such bullshit. Like, hell, I'd rather watch a 30-man horse race. Honestly, like, I don't really care to watch another stroke play event for your tour champ at a golf course that they're eating it up. Like, the whole playoff, like, Billy Ho came out this week and really tore up Caves Creek. Really, like, shredded it. He's like, come on, guys, I'm sure this would be a fun golf course to play with your buddies on a Sunday afternoon, but this is a professional event. Like, what are we doing playing this on the playoff during the playoffs? Like, this should be really hard. This should be good golf, and they're not doing it. And yeah, I personally, I'm with you. Like, I think it should be match play at least for the final, but I think it should be throughout the entire playoffs. Like, it's not a playoff. There's nothing about it that says playoffs. We're not talking playoffs. Yeah.
I like where David's going with this. I like TPC. They have all the money invested in the player experience, viewing experience for the players. If they're going to have 6,000 cameras out there,
it's called the stadium track. Like, yeah, it's for a fucking event like that.
It's not going to be an issue for sure. I just don't think that the current format really does it for anyone. I think everyone is quite, I mean, Rory's been on TV trying to defend it here and there. Yeah, they've really figured it out, but really have they? Because I mean, the top five guys have the, you know, the opportunity to win it. And that's really the only guys you're really going to care about, because they're really only moving the needle so far.
The winner of this week's event knocked it. Yeah. He was like, I'm not a fan of this. He's like, it needs to be changed.
Yeah.
The winner of the FedEx Cup playoffs,
Jason Bourne.
Yeah. Said, I think this is a silly format, which it is. Like, come on, man. Like, you're having a low gross and a low net event on the PGA Tour. Like, it's insane.
Do they actually gross? Like,
well, essentially, because it's handicapped. So like,
yeah, but like, yeah. There's no pay. Is there a payout?
No,
for being,
no, okay, should, yeah, be. I mean, these guys make so much.
Low
per second.
Net?
Yeah. The payout is ridiculous. Like, I mean, Brooks WDs and still makes just under $400,000.
Still makes first place low net. Championship flight.
Hell yeah. First one.
The other thing I was going to add to that, though, is we live in a digital world, right? If you look at how like Barstool is doing some of their stuff, like with one-on-ones and like some of the things that are happening in like digital content and social media, like following a group around with six cameras or eight cameras, you can follow a group if it's Spieth versus Koepka, or, you know, and then you have like your national television with your two final groups. But there's a way to kind of spin this in a different way. And they just, again, like, I don't know. It's
missing the point.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day, the PGA Tour is just, you know, they have their sponsors. They don't like change, and they're not going to adapt. And the minute that someone tries to come into their backyard, like with the International Players Tour, and try to disrupt things, they just get their back up and they make one or two small changes. But the players aren't going to say anything because the money's too valuable and the lifetime value of the players' pensions and all those things are just too powerful. And, you know, for Rory to come out and defend it, is he not the chairman of the players' committee or yep. the championship committee? Yeah. So he's going to defend it because it's basically his signature on all this stuff, sign off on it.
Yeah,
so.
But he's also the first one saying that, like, you know, when he's talking about chucking a club, like, he's burnt out. I don't think these guys want to play these events at the end of the year unless it's actually like, you know, it's worth, like, yes, it's worth something. It's worth a lot of money, but there's nothing, nobody's going to remember you as a FedEx Cup champion. It's not, there's nothing to it. Like, who gives a shit? The guy's playing 6 weeks in a row. Like, no, man, that's brutal.
Who was the FedEx Cup champion 3 years ago?
Bill Haas.
No, that was 2014.
Anybody?
Tiger Woods.
Rory, was it? 3 years ago?
2018. Roars.
Roars? Okay.
But just like, checking. That's not, you're not getting into the Hall of Fame with that.
No.
Like, I mean, it's silly. And like, I think to go to your point now, David, with the PGA Tour and they want to follow their sponsors, they don't want change. Well, fortunately, we might be seeing some change. Hopefully, with the PGA Tour announcing that they are going to be doing like a Drive to Survive type show that'll be on Netflix, they'll be following around 12 players throughout the year.
Awesome.
It's great. But I hope to God it's good. I hope you follow some really cool players and like don't water this shit down.
DJ, Party Town.
I don't want to watch first, that. I want to see Harry Higgs.
PGA Tour Productions. That thing is going to be so clean and so edited. I want the unclean
I don't
version.
Think it's PGA Tour Productions doing it though, because I don't think Netflix would have signed on to doing it if it was them.
Like, yeah, I read that it was PGA Tour Productions, but that's just
okay. Well, I'm just wondering like, if yeah, like, if that Netflix could just would even
be
want that.
That's just ruining it right there. Like, forget it. You might as well just put out a soap opera because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be scheduled and scripted. Forget it.
The point that I'm I heard, out. The I'm thing out. I heard the most.
I'm in though.
The best point that I heard today, and to steal Solly from Nolan Up's quote about it, like you talk about Drive to Survive, and I don't know if you've watched that, David. Or ever dipped into it. I know we all have, but if you watch Drive to Survive, you're like, oh, this is sick. But like, you're like, oh, I want to get into this. And then you actually watch, you know, F1, you're like, wow, this is unbelievable. Like this is 2 hours, like no commercials. It's fast. There's everything to it. It's great. Okay. So now you're new to golf. You sit down and watch 1 hour and you're like, oh, I have 20 minutes of commercials to go through every single hour. Like I'm not into this. Like, I don't know if that's going to push the needle, but I hope. But I think there's some things that they could do really well. Like, hell, show Patrick Cantlay's warm-up. Show me what that guy goes through every day. 4 hours of warm-up before he can even go to the tee. Mm-hmm. Like, that's interesting in a way. They're like, I didn't know. Like, nobody would know that if they didn't go deep into Patrick Cantlay.
Totally.
And then show me Cam Smith getting fucking wasted on after the third round of the BMW.
Yeah, show me Patrick Reed in the rough practicing palming balls and such.
Oh, that'd we got to nice. Get into Patrick Reed after this, dude. There's a lot with him. I think that guy had COVID. But
while playing,
he is COVID.
Dude, he couldn't get on a plane this past week to fly out to Atlanta because he had double pneumonia and they said the pressure might like burst his lungs.
Wow.
Yeah. Like the doctors told him, like, I think you should text your family. Like, this isn't looking good.
Double pneumonia?
Yeah. Like bilateral pneumonia.
See ya.
Tough scene.
And he played.
Where was the COVID test? Welcome. And now he's going to be on the Ryder Cup.
There is no COVID in the US, is there?
Rom got it, but he's not American, so right, that's why. Probably why. That's you know, why. Foreigner.
Yep. Captain America.
Keep him out. I'm just kidding.
So build up. Thankfully, playoffs are done. We're over that right now.
I'm still riding high on it, right? Cantlay was my man. I feel like anytime I win these things, it's like, now we're over.
I just want to see Stuart Sink right, get Tom. Back to the Safeway and...
Oh, give it all to me.
There we go. We haven't heard that one for a while.
The applause and the harp for the tour champ.
Nice. Tour champ, Tom.
Appreciate it, bud.
Give it to you again.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we have to touch on Bryson, though. He finally talked to the media.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
Yes.
It wasn't good.
No.
It was a joke.
Yep.
He only sits with Todd Lewis.
Scripted.
Super scripted. Just kind of defending himself, saying, yes, it bothers me, but, you know, it just fuels me. I'm going to do this. It's like, bro, like, this is not a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what you need to be saying. Like, if you're going to play this role, fucking play it. Like, I don't like this. It's not good for the game, obviously. We don't need more people out there, like, yelling Brooksy and shit because there's other guys playing with
him. Get off it, man. Seriously, they're going to start removing fans? Come on. There's worse shit being said hourly on the PGA Tour, but that's going to move it. That's going to be the decision.
How many years have we had mashed potatoes and bubble booey and all this shit?
Anything and everything.
How many times has James Hahn been walking down the fairway and been called Kevin Na? Oh my God. Right?
You saw that post?
Yeah. That was legend. He's like, yeah, like, okay.
Call me Hideki. Call me Siwoo. Call me Kevin Na. You're getting removed.
Yeah, it'll be crazy when Twitter starts removing people for calling DeChambeau Brooksy on Twitter, right? Oh, that's the one thing about the internet. It's going to be there no matter what.
I wish we had a baby's cry on the board. I'd play that right now.
We could probably find something like that.
You got that.
Oh, that's not it. Yeah, we hit it, though. Bryce, I think... Unfortunately, he will be playing in the Ryder Cup, which is a bit of a shame, but I think that guy needs to take like a few month break.
Sabbatical?
Bryson.
Okay, Brooksy! Yeah.
Like, I think he just needs to disappear, and maybe this will just blow over. Because it's just, nothing's getting better for him. It just seems shitty.
We need somebody to replace him. Maybe the Portnoy non-Brooks Koepka match that's not happening will create some interest away from the game for a little while. Any thoughts on that?
I'd like to know what's
not happening. That Portnoy, unfortunately,
yeah, thank God,
it's not.
That happening. Was a bunch of shit.
Well, not now because he jammed his wrist. But Brendan Porath came up with a great tweet. He's like, "It's interesting that Brooksy withdrew from this. It'd be very interesting to see if he shows up on Tuesday for the match against Portnoy." That would have been funny.
In one of those tiger turtlenecks. Yeah, guy looked like he should have been on the cover of Vanity Fair.
Straight from church to the first tee. Yeah. That's what it looked like. Just took the collar off.
I liked it, to be honest with you.
Could be a tough
cricket gonna have any of those turtlenecks
yeah,
coming
mock
there
necks for
David?
The 2022 okay. Maybe the pimento cheese neck.
no.
All right, where are we at? Let's talk Solheim, Mr. Paisley.
Educate me.
Let's go into the Solheim. Obviously Europe taking it down 15-13. Yeah, it was close, I guess, but if you kind of, I mean, unfortunately, we didn't get to watch really any of the singles because we were playing, but did watch enough highlights to see, like, it wasn't close. Like, they got a couple. The Americans got a couple at the end to really make it look like it was a bit of a match, but they got smoked. Personally, I mean, not getting to watch that much ladies golf this year, but a bit. But, like, even watching Leona Maguire this week, I think that was, like, a full coming out party for her, like, really, like, establishing, like, yo, I'm going to beat your ass. Like, I'm a dog. I'm a killer out here.
Who did she kill?
Anyone.
Anyone and everyone.
She took down Nelly, took down fucking all of these girls out there. And it was just, she's so fucking tiny, but, like, fiery. And, like, just
she was the number one rated amateur player in the world for, like, what?
What did you say? 135 weeks?
Yeah.
So, like, no clue.
That's a little bit of, it's a little bit of pedigree.
Aye.
We're going to have her on the show here soon.
Are we really?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just stellar. I think the biggest story of the week, though, besides Europe winning, was clearly the debacle between Madeline Sagstrom and Nelly Korda with the overhanging gate. That was a tough scene. Did you get to see that, David?
I did not.
Did not. Okay. Well, let me describe this for you then.
Dropping kids off.
Nice. Like that.
To child jail? Go to your daycare. Child jail.
So obviously everyone's probably seen it by now. Sagstrom picks up the putt of Nelly after missing the eagle putt. It's not, there's zero chance of this ball going in the hole. Nelly's on the ground. She knows it's not going in.
But
Sagstrom goes, picks it up, throws it over, nice birdie. Okay, I gotta run at this. And they make birdie, tie the hole. If the official comes up to them after and hey, you know, you only waited like 7 seconds. It wasn't the full 10. America wins that hole. And it's like, dude, no. Like, there's zero chance that ball could have fallen. Yeah, it was a dumb play by Sagstrom to pick that up. Like, really stupid. Never touch your opponent's ball in match play. You should know that. You should know that. David knows that. Everyone fucking knows that. Don't do that. But there we are. She did it. And there was just a lot of tension after that. And it was an unfortunate event and kind of took a lot of the attention for the rest of that day. That was absolutely sick.
Yeah, it was just, now that was the highlight of the day. That's all they focused on, unfortunately, and took it away from the golf. But I agree 100%. What are you doing? Literally, the putt just stopped and you run over and grab the ball. Are you that fired up? You want to make your putt, you're focused, you just get her ball out of there? Like, what are you thinking about? Because that was just like, that's a rookie move.
Yeah. Glitch.
Yeah, oops.
It was. It was a glitch in the system. Yeah. It was like, dude, no, like that's a bad play. But also, like, maybe not. It's a loser on both ends.
Subjective.
Yeah, like officials made a bad call. Sagstrom made a bad call. It was just like, that was a poor situation. But
Sagstrom ended up winning the match.
They did end up winning that one.
So yeah. She's like, hey.
Thankfully, it didn't affect it.
Yeah.
If anything, it gave Nelly a little window of opportunity.
That was in the four ball, too. So, like, at least there it was team. And, but still, yeah, like, kind of just a bit weird.
Yeah.
I think the highlight of the week, though, for me, for the Solheim, was seeing Inverness. Like, that setup that they had on 1 and 10.
Yeah, it was sick.
The single tee for both holes. Like, that was so fucking cool. I'm like, just give me more of this in golf. Just literally. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, Ohio is maybe one of the most underrated states for golf courses.
Yeah.
Like, they don't get all the love like some other states, but man, oh man, like you get into Columbus, like the 10 or 12 private clubs in Columbus are all top tier. Like, even Toledo. Toledo's not a beautiful place, but like Toledo, Akron, like you have Firestone,
yeah.
Like Cleveland, as you get southern, like on like the Kentucky Ohio border, like in Cincinnati, like Country Club of Cincinnati, I believe it is like unbelievable. Like Hudson, Kent, like there's so many great golf courses in the state of Ohio. But Inverness is like just another gem in a very like worn down community, you know, since GM left and all that stuff. But you regardless, know, unbelievable golf course, Ohio.
You know what's interesting? We probably could have picked somebody's brain this weekend. He would have gave us all the highlights of the Ohio golf courses.
I can go look at his course list, and I could probably tell you how many he's played.
There we go.
I have it downstairs if we need to dive into that. we'll get into that, but I think a great week for the Solheim. I think it deserved a bit more attention, but I also think that it really got ramped up, and people did get to see how great an event that is. I know there was a lot of talk earlier in the week about like just ideas of how to make it better, what they can do, what should be done, and maybe not joining it with the Ryder Cup, but like if you do it with the President's Cup, like that would be a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Even having Bubba out there this week was really cool. Like having
Love
him
that.
Like a player assistant like that. They were raving about him. They're like, this guy's double looping. He's like giving inspirational speeches, coming off the green, he's giving advice. Like he may be contractually done as, you know, okay. He just signed a lifetime deal with Ping, but like, I don't care, man. Like that's sick. Like he was out there supporting it. And like, I was saying this to you on the weekend, like I think when the Solheim is going on or some sort of event like this, even off weeks, the PGA Tour should take off weeks on big events with the LPGA, and the PGA players should actually be obligated to go there and be there to support and just help grow the game. Just show up.
Yeah, post like some stuff on their Instagram. Get the people 100%. Knowing about it. And I think, just don't have it on the damn Tour Championship weekend.
Seriously, that's the Tour Championship should not be on this. That team event should always take precedent, in my opinion.
100%.
Yep, I agree. Like, I like that. I like the idea of the joint event. Like, why not highlight the President's Cup, which, I mean, gets a lot of viewership, but doesn't. And then, you know,
compared to the Ryder Cup,
no,
though?
But like pair. Nothing. Yeah, you get this whole global buy-in, but pair that with the Solheim. Like, what a better format. What a great opportunity to grow the game, create, you know, fan engagement, that UX experience. Like everything is just like amplified to beyond belief. Why not? Like, hey, PGA Tour, check your inbox, check your junk box.
100%.
More emails from David Brisson coming your way.
Yeah.
And Putin.
I'm on board with that.
You mentioned rookie move. I have some rookie moves. Go.
I don't want to go there with that. As soon as I said it, I was like, David, you know anything about picking up balls at the wrong time?
Just, hit the right provisional. One ball rule. Everyone, right. One ball. Everyone knows the rules.
Everyone, one ball.
Serious.
The Dale Trail.
A good idea.
The Pro V Trail. The Titleist Trail. One ball. Everyone knows the rules. Don't get detailed.
Joe TaylorMade. I've officially switched to TaylorMade golf balls moving forward for the rest of my life.
Love it.
Mojo. Do you like good the call. TP5 or the TP5X more?
I have not played golf since my incident, and I will give it a whirl tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nice. So X going to give it to you, or you got the TP5 Reggie?
They told me that the X is like an in-between the Pro V1 and the Pro V1X, so I'm going to give that a whirl to start. Nice. So we'll see. tacos.
All right. Good luck tomorrow. We want some Instagram worthy shots.
Where are you playing?
I play a men's night at Tango Creek in the great city of Barrie, Ontario. Ooh. I play with Tony. It's my Sopranos group. I got paired up with them when we moved to this great community for Jen's work. So I didn't know them, but we play every week now.
Tony,
Soprano group.
Nice.
7 a.m.
Are they Italianos or what?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah? Heavy?
Two are in the vegetable space. Been in the vegetable space for about 40 years. And the other one, I'm not allowed to talk about. He might be Jason Bourne, actually.
Yeah. So, he's got a construction company. He's a mason.
He might be John Gotti.
He's a mason. He knows how to pour concrete. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I don't know what accent that was, but it wasn't Italian. It sounded like Turkish, Mexican. Something like that.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Parksy, so I appreciate you.
I like that a lot.
Kobe.
Anything else you guys want to cover from the week of golf?
Yeah, let's talk Sagebrush.
I just, Solheim Cup, liked watching Nelly's dance moves. That's the only
Jessica,
real.
Wasn't
was
it?
Was that Jessica? Yes. Okay, yeah.
Nice
Either way,
moves.
Nice dance moves.
Like that little shuffle on the tee.
Loved the shuffle.
Hell yeah.
Parksy's loving the shuffle.
Oh, yeah. I loved her shoes. LFG. Love that. Great kicks there. Yes.
Anyway, that's all. Now take me down memory lane of Sagebrush.
Yeah. Parks and I and Coach K got to dip down to honestly, this is my white whale this year. This is the only place I wanted to go play. Sagebrush Golf Club out in Merritt. Mark Strong, thank you so much for that one. That was huge. But I don't even know how to explain, how much of a great experience that is to go and play that place. Like, everyone that plays golf should go and experience this place. Like, especially now, because it's a little bit rough. It's not finished yet, but you get the whole damn place to yourself. Like, we saw, two, three groups the entire weekend?
You saw the maintenance guys on Monday, and maybe another group, and that was it. Like, no pressure, no nothing.
And the one's got a dog, and we were just like, go ahead.
Yeah.
Just go and play.
That's something that really resonated with me. I saw a puppy out there, little puppers. Frederick Winters. Shout out, Freddie. He's the proud owner of a set of Haywood Irons. So, had his pupper out there, and I loved it. And I said to Mark, is this just like a maintenance day thing, or is this, he's like, you know what? I don't see why people wouldn't want to bring the man's best friend out to the golf course.
You know, I'm a huge advocate.
This
of
is
it.
The yeah. biggest advocate of it.
Like, it's just unreal. I mean, I understandably, it's the layout that sort of provides the opportunity for that. All the holes are kind of on their own. There's no opportunity for Fluffy to get, eaten by a gator or run over by, 50,000 carts flying by. But absolutely loved it. What a freaking fantastic overall experience. Mark Strong, I got to give props out to you, too. That property is just that je ne sais quoi, that's something special. It's just everything I didn't expect and more. Yeah.
What was the most surprising thing to both of you? Parksy, go first.
I think we're sort of steered away from the standard golf course setup where, you expect to drive over to the first tee and see the first fairway and this whole thing. It's just, there's a lot of imagination comes into play when you're standing on the tee boxes. They're not super defined. There's no tee markers out there. You have all the freedom in the world to play whatever you want, hit as many shots as you want. It's just a really, I think for me, not only just having to visualize what you want to do, but really get creative on how you want to play the golf course and how the golf course is going to play you.
I like it.
Visually, it's like the most intimidating place I think I've ever seen. But when you actually hit the shots, you're like, oh, that's actually not that bad. Like, you could hit, you could have 160 yards and you're like, oh, I'll just, flight something in there, big high shot. But you're like, really, I could actually just chip it in front of me like 40 yards and it'll just run all the way down.
Yeah.
Like, I unfortunately did not do that. And this guy called me out seconds before I pulled the trigger and then I nearly shanked it.
Not this
guy. And I should have,
not
you, but I should have done actually what he said. But it's just like, there's so many options and it was kind of cool watching, you can really miss a shot and be like, oh my God, that's so dead. And then because of those slopes, it just funnels in these weird ways. And like you're, to go with your point with being creative, it's like, I think I'm going to throw this 60 yards outright. And it's probably going to come back. And it might be really, really close. Like hitting chip shots where you're like, I'm going to throw this so far behind the flag and just run up there and watch this thing travel as far as it needs to go.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the ability. Not that I was short-sighted very often because all I do is hit greens and rig. But when you do miss that odd shot left or right of the green, you have options. Like Chris said, you have a lot of banks and backstops. It just comes down to what you can visualize and what you can kind of script out there, which is, it's not your standard golf course by any means. And it does feel extremely overwhelming standing on the first tee, par five, uphill into the wind, and you don't see much but a sliver of fairway, and you're like, oh God, please find the club face. And you throw something up there and you've just barely carried the trouble, and you get up there and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I only got 4 iron in to a par five uphill, and it's like, feels like you're hitting a,
and
you
know, the fairway is actually 80 yards yeah wide.
And you have more room than enough to park like 3 football teams worth of players out there, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, I had full PTSD after the first hole, though. Like, it definitely got me. Go ahead, David.
Is Disco Dick still involved? Dick Zocal?
Yeah, Disco Tricky Dick still out there. Apparently, he comes out every Sunday or every other Sunday and brings one of his sons to play. So,
yeah, that's.
And it's been, excuse my ignorance, but it was rejuvenated, right? It closed and yes. Is rebirth or something? Okay, got it.
This is the third time.
Yeah,
it's
this
reopened.
Is the third
Rod time. Whitman.
Yeah, Whitman and Zocal.
Sandhills and a bunch? Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Aim and something else.
They have some really cool things they're working on from an amenities perspective. They have a couple of sort of these townhouse units out there that we had the privilege of staying in. Had a wonderful dinner, breakfast, all kinds of
yeah, having all the meals
food
where
experiences.
It's like you just show up and it just everything's done.
It was fantastic. And it was nice because it almost felt like you were just kind of there on your own and no one else was around.
Yeah.
So for those in Eastern Ontario, Eastern Canada, like fly into Kelowna and then drive?
Kelowna or, I mean, you can fly into Van. You got 3-hour drive, but yeah.
Kelowna, Kamloops, couple hour drive either way. Fly into Van, it's only 3 hours up to Coke. Fantastic.
Easy drive.
Yeah, fantastic like corporate retreat spot. They have Terry's Hideaway, which was essentially this little gapper sort of stocked trout pond after the 12th hole. And they do a cookout there, so you'll have some amenities on the golf course while you're playing. Provided it's a busier day, I would assume they'll have a guy working a smoker and sort of kind of like a food station. You can stop, you can fish, fly fish. Like I said, stocked pond. It's a really, really cool kind of alcove back in this hill, super protected by trees. And then you get out, play a couple more holes, and then you're like total desert golf, and it feels like you're down in Arizona or California. It's just a wicked, wicked property.
Yeah, there's like three sections of it, really. Hey,
yep.
Like there's seven holes, and then you kind of start working your way back, and then towards that little alcove in the back, and then when you come out of that, you're like, oh my God, now I'm in this again.
Yeah,
and it
desert.
Just beats the crap out of you at times. Like. Maybe because you get used to that tight little spot in that alcove and then you come out again, you're like, oh shit, I forgot how big this place is.
Yeah.
Like it's just so, like it does like take your mind into these weird places, and you're like, when you're in that tight spot in the middle, you're like, oh, this is friendly. Like, it's like almost like parkland golf.
That could have been the mushrooms.
I wish that probably would have helped.
No mushrooms were endured on this trip.
What was the most memorable shot for each of you? Like what was the best shot you hit out there?
I'm going to say worst shot.
Okay.
Was mine on number one. Out of the bunker, like 80 yards up the hill. I'm like, whatever. Stock shot. Hit it just how I wanted it. Catches the top knob on the false front.
Zip. Gone.
And like, it's way uphill. And like, as I'm climbing out of the bunker, ball's still rolling. Walking to the cart, ball's still rolling. Picking my club out, ball's still rolling. Comes down right beside the cart, 80 yards off the green. And I'm just like, all right, this is what we're doing out here today. Like, but I mean, there were some fun shots, like obviously taking off some slopes. And I think watching other people's shots is really interesting. Not even so much my own, just kind of seeing where it goes. Like even watching Carey play like from the reds and you're like, wow, this is a completely different golf course from here. Like these kickers that are involved in your game are 100% different than what I'm seeing or what you're seeing. And it's like, I mean, I played the Golds the second day because I just want to see the landing areas. And I'm like, oh, I'm literally playing a different golf course than you. Like, it's not even close. Yeah. That one par four, I was literally like 80 yards in front of you. And my tee shot or tee box wasn't that far in front. Just you catch the slopes and it just goes.
It's like Mark said, though, like 3% of the players will actually play the back tees. And he said when we were out there, he's like, man, I didn't even know there's a tee box here. But Parks, he plays from the back. He finds the back tees. I think for me, memorable shots. There was a couple like real, real sweet ones. We got it on video, I think. But the funnest one was Terry's Cove and hitting driver off the mat from the tee box and
over.
Basically put it in the back bunker over the green, which is super fun. There's a really long par five on
16.
On the back nine. It's like 684 or something like that.
Wow.
Driver over the green. But like
that's what you did.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's the one on the front.
Sorry, that's the front one.
But the one on the back though, 16 has this massive kicker down below.
Yeah, that's the
one.
And like 70-yard green.
300, yeah, 70 yards from front to back. And like you probably had like 3+ coming in.
Yeah.
And you catch it off that kicker and it's gone. Like 340 is like reachable.
Yeah.
And you're like, "What the fuck?" Like
I hit hybrid down to the front edge of the green from 340, which is
so insane.
One cool thing, Chris kind of alluded to it. Really, really fun to play with people that are like super passionate about golf. Carrie obviously played stellar. I think she was one or two under
on the second
day.
Yeah.
Like making it rain from every corner of the world and hitting a lot of good quality shots into the greens, which is fun to see. But to take Mark out of his sort of stressful environment, put him back in the golf course, get him talking about the things that he loves about golf, about the game, about unique aspects of coaching, teaching, player development, like, such a cool vibe to just have some time with him and just really peel the layers of the onion back. That was awesome. And I cannot wait to get back out there and spend some more time with him and just see how he's going to, you know, be, I guess, evolving this whole experience, the things they have planned, some of the secrets we're not going to talk about, but we'll definitely have him back on the show at the end of the year when he's wrapped up and he's got a little more free time just to talk about, you know, some of the cool stuff we have to look forward to and try and drive that Sagebrush experience home to a lot of people.
Two last things on it.
Okay.
Probably one of the coolest and most fun practice facilities I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like right in front of our place.
We had fun.
Like, it's huge. And like, you can literally hit every shot in the bag. And from one end to the other, like, you could hit, I could probably have hit like a full 8-iron with that wind.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
It's so long. And like, you can see all these like swales and bumps. And you're like, we were out there for a bit. And I was like, dude, I might just stay here.
Yeah.
Like, this is so much fun. And then lastly, the pro out there, Randy, don't remember his last name, but it will come to me. Sorry about that. We'll fix that on the next one. If anyone's kind of like worried about going out there and playing this place, thinking it's too hard for me and do this and this, because you're probably going to look at it and it's going to look like Tobiano. And his way of describing it was like, you can't learn how to play golf at Tobiano, but you can at Sagebrush, because like, you can hit shots and you still get away with a lot. And it, like, it's not that difficult. Like if you were playing from the reds, like you can see everything. You have super wide fairways on a lot of holes. Dude, you have some holes, it's 120 yards wide.
Definitely a spot that I would take my mom and my sisters.
100%.
Because it's that kind of, you know, it's that boys golf trip spot, but it totally needs to be experienced by everyone. Yeah. And it's definitely a cool spot where you could do a couples retreat.
Family reunion.
Yeah, man. Like seriously, it would be such a great property to do like a mixed event. Maybe we look at doing something next year and try and get the golf guys and the golf girls out there. A great spot.
Just going to correct you guys. Randy Smith, former Toronto Golf Club, sorry. Beacon yep. Hall, Eastern, you know, the mecca of golf, Ontario here.
Center of the universe.
Like that. Thank you for covering that up.
That's right near Boise, Idaho, isn't it?
The potato country.
Pocatello, Idaho. Idaho State University.
Pocatello.
Should we close it out with one last story here?
Wow, I know what's coming. Let's just give the man
some props.
Take us deep.
So we're sitting out there before we even go tee off. It's, I don't know, 2 in the afternoon. Randy, the pro and chef, is making us burgers. Lovely. Great afternoon. Great
mushrooms.
On
the burgers.
I was going to say on the
burgers only.
So we're sitting there and Buddy rolls up, just storming right in by himself. All right. Grabs a seat, grabs a burger, just starts going, starts chatting. I'm like, hey, man, what's happening? Blah, blah. And he starts talking. He's like, oh, I played here so many times, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, a lot of courses I've played, not much like this. We're like, oh, how many did you play? Oh, almost 1,800. Wait, what? 1,800?
Documented.
Documented. Like, I've literally got the doc downstairs.
Showed us.
And he's like, yeah, I'm a Golf Week rater, or I am. I became one after about 800 courses. Buddy, well, yeah, David.
Don't David, last David name, yeah, but, I like David.
Yeah. Interesting.
David Brisson?
Nope. Wish. Wish.
That would have been
Bob.
Beautiful.
Don't call him Bob.
Let's call him
sure,
Bob.
Let's call him Bob.
We don't want them to get confused with sure. Our man, David.
Yeah. There you go.
So this guy is just going to town, telling us these whole life stories. And we're like, yeah, cool, man. We're like, well, how many holes did you play today? He's like, well, I'm like, I got to keep going here. I want to try and get 72 in today. I'm like, what?
70 like, what?
Wait, pardon? And he's like, yeah, you know, I played like 54 yesterday. I'm just looking to get 72 in today. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
72 holes. So we leave because we got to go. We'd like to go play.
Yeah.
He's chatting it up. He's talking up this whole place.
I pull this away from the table. I'm like, okay, golf, let's go.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. Let's go. So we get out of there, and then end of the round, we get back into the indoor suite and we're sitting there. All of a sudden,
boom,
door open.
Door opens.
Buddy Bob comes rolling through with like three growlers, two bottles of whiskey, like cigars. I'm just like, shit. I'm like,
it's going to be that kind of night. And some mushrooms?
No, just on the burgers.
No munchies, but just a heavy, heavy evening, especially for your boy. It's a little fuzzy on the Monday, but that's fine. We made it. But this guy goes in so, like, I'm fascinated. I'm like, fucking, let's go down this wormhole. Like, just tell me a little bit about what the fuck you've done.
Hang
and what
on.
You've seen.
Let's provide some context.
Please.
We're gassed. We've just come off playing a fantastic afternoon. Had a couple pops. Had a nice meal. Just having a glass of wine. About to read the Bible and go to bed. Seriously, feeling that. And literally, storming Norman. Bob America comes busting through the door.
Boom.
And this guy is geared up, as Pace alluded to, but he is not quiet in any sense of the word. There was people in Merritt that were phoning us over the other side of the lake saying, hey, can you guys shut the fuck up because you're screaming. This guy is so loud and so jacked up, and Pace is just loving every second of it.
I mean,
sounds like you met your match.
His soulmate.
I stepped up my volume. To be honest with you.
Yeah, have to.
I was like, I got to shut this guy up in some way, shape, or form.
You wouldn't have got a word in.
I tried. But when...
Hey, Bob.
Yeah. No, I'd be like, hey, no, I'm here now.
My turn.
Yeah. But it was like... Just
that
listening
cigar
to like,
that's lit
this,
and burn him. That'll get your attention.
But yeah, I went down a rabbit hole of just like understanding everything that he's freaking done in golf, like everywhere he's played. And I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, I just don't even understand how you can play that many golf courses. Like, over 1,400 in the U.S. alone.
But knew his shit, was super passionate, knew a lot about the architects, knew a lot about the layouts, the designs. This guy was no joke. Like, he was the full meal, real deal, Mr. Bob America. And I think that we're going to have to invite him on to do a little segment in the future.
I might do a monthly segment with him. I'm just going to let him go.
Bob at large.
Oh
wow,
that's it right there.
Yeah, just he wants to stay low key too. So like,
Bob, at
just
large.
Let him. I'm gonna turn the mics on. Just let him go for like an hour a month. But it really crazy. Unfortunately, it did get. Yeah, it went long into the evening. And
how late were you up?
Oh, midnight.
Parksy was in bed at 10.
But it was a good one. Crushed his growlers. So like, you know, took advantage of it.
It's good times. Yeah, he had a lot of nice things to say about Gary and.
Had a few nice things to say about yourself.
Knowledge,
too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A few nice things to say about me. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he was a nice
it's
man.
It's funny because I was looking at Parksy when I said that, but you just are like, "Yep, David's got something." I think bring us back on the rails.
You got something good for us?
No,
it's
a bit quiet.
I tried. My dad music.
Oh, you got dad music, Barney.
Bob America. Let's just call that a fail. So.
Wow, that is not what I expected. Get that out of here.
That's what I felt like was going on outside my bedroom window.
Wow. Pretty much.
Yeah. Did you have that cued for this or what? Like, that was amazing.
I like it.
Because it was actually just like an Instagram reel of a baby. Yeah. Lip sync.
It was great.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that was Sagebrush.
Overall, highly recommend it. Cannot say enough good things. Love Tobiano, obviously. Love. Just the overall experience. The hospitality is phenomenal. Great company. Aside from Bob America, was probably the highlight of the trip.
BFFFL for life.
Yeah, just a wonderful human being. He's down in LA doing work right now. Hope he's okay. Hope he's stretched. But yeah, it was an exciting weekend. Love to...
Can't wait to go back.
Love to go back.
I want
to
come. I'm coming next time.
You better come.
You boys going back this weekend?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about going right now.
I very easily could. And I don't even need to stay in the suites. I could just park a tent or sleep in my car. Like, I wouldn't even care. As long as I can see that property again and again and again. I might bring like a small bucket of balls and actually just hit 10 balls a shot. Like, I don't need to put up a number.
Phenomenal. Thank you, Mark Strong. Thank you, everybody that makes Sagebrush as wonderful as it does. The maintenance team's fantastic. Fred, all the guys out there, what an experience. What a weekend. Can't wait to travel again. I can't wait to get a bandit trip in with the boys.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, just more trips like that. That was an absolute treat.
Yeah, we just need to quit work and just travel and play golf.
I might just become Buddy Bob's caddy.
I'll be your caddy. I'll be the caddy's caddy.
Yeah,
caddy's
exactly.
caddy.
I like that.
Caddy's assistant.
Apprentice? Apprentice caddy.
Yes.
Could be good.
Anything else you guys would like to cover? I feel like we've rambled on long enough.
Yeah, we're good.
David.
I think we're good. David, you good?
I'm good.
Beautiful.
All right. Pleasure.
Yeah.
As always.
Thanks again to Mark for that lovely weekend out there. And I hope you guys enjoyed all the golf this past weekend. I know it was a heavy one. And we're probably going to catch you next week.
Is there anything this week?
Season starts again. Mm. Right back into it.
Boom. What tournament?
Safeway. No, it's not the Safeway. No. It's...
We'll get back on that.
Yeah.
We'll see you after the weekend.
Don't ask the hard questions right at the end.
Yeah, we were teed up for that one.
Sorry, boys.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, folks.
Bye.